Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. And now, Steve Jordahl, or Jord, as we call him. Well, actually, he was telling me that was his nickname growing up. Reporter and news anchor for American Family News. How you doing, Jord?
I'm doing good there, Eddie V. I had my buddies were masters of nicknames. I was called The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock, and had nothing to do with wrestling because this was way before it.
Had to do with your ability to swim or not swim?
Yeah, no. It had to be with the way I drove. I drove fast, and it was short for Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
As a teenager.
Kind of like the North Korean leader.
They call me The Rock.
Yeah.
And what else did they call me? Oh, they just had all kinds of...
I have firsthand experience of you driving fast.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to get out of the
few months on the job... I'm walking in to work, and you're whipping in right at 8 o'clock, and you turn that you whipped in that parking lot going like 35.
Oh, man.
And I may or may not have sent an email over to your boss, Fred.
I think you might have.
But, The Rock, Rocket Man.
So,
hey, now let me tell you something. The AFA parking lot, you can take your life in your own hands.
I'm not the only person.
People around 8 o'clock, you better be looking both ways because people are trying to get in on time.
Just to be fair, I don't really have to be here till 8:30. That's when my shift officially starts.
That makes your speeding even worse.
I know it does, right? I'm just doing it because I like to drive fast. Yeah, you heaven help us all if I ever get my hands on a Porsche or a Corvette or something like that. It'd be all over. I'd have so many speeding tickets that wouldn't be a good thing.
All right. All right, Rock, go ahead.
Things heating up in the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz, you know where the Horn of Africa, where the Saudi Arabian Peninsula has this little thing that juts out and it kind of pokes into like Iran. It's a vital passage where oil goes through this Middle East oil by tanker goes through there. And for the last few months, they've been having some threats there. Iranian boats tried to keep a British oil tanker from going through. The British Navy frigate, the HMS Montrose, got in the way of that, and they were able to go through. But they have lost a UAE, United Arab Emirates, flagged tanker. It's called the Ria, and they turned off their transmitting location, something that shipping company says the tanker has not switched off ever in 3 months of trips around that horn. So they're saying it's a red flag. They don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. It was drifting into Iranian waters. They suspect, Walker, that the Iranians may have taken this thing.
Yeah, this is. I wanted to bring this story in because we had, number one, Iran has been a little provocative, to say the least, the past few months. They're begging for attention on the world stage because the U.S. and other countries have levied the toughest sanctions ever on Iran, and they're hurting, at least their economy is. And they tried, I believe it was a week or two ago, they tried, their Iranian speedboats tried to board a British vessel that you just mentioned there, and they failed, thankfully. But this could be where, and we don't know yet, we'll find out, surely, this is a oil tanker. It can't just go missing forever. They'll hopefully figure out where it is. But it could be that the Iranians have seized this UAE vessel and they're going to use it as leverage, Ed, to, I guess, bring other countries to the negotiating table.
Well, it's going to fail. Part of the problem is, of course, that I don't think, short of invading Iran and occupying the country, which nobody's going to do, there's no real way to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons, developing nuclear weapons, if that's what they want to do. So these sanctions are hurting them. They're going to have to voluntarily give them up in order for the sanctions to cease, and probably have some way of verifying whether they're keeping their promise. And I think you're right. I think they're getting desperate. I think it was kind of a slap in the face that they failed to board the British vessel. And in that part of the world, pride is very important. Shame, on the other hand, is also very important in terms of interactions on an individual level, but also with other nations. So they're trying to get some of that back.
And it seems that Iran knows that nobody's going to invade their country. We might launch some missile attacks against them, but and so they probably know kind of the limits that they can go
right
without any kind of huge repercussions, that is.
There are indications that the sanctions are having an effect. Iran's foreign minister, Javed Zarif, said Monday that his country does not want to have a war with the U.S. And by the way, the president has said about the Straits of Hormuz, he's laid down a red line of sorts, just saying if Iran closes it, it won't be closed for long.
Yeah.
But he said, the Zarif said that the door is wide open to negotiations with the U.S. if the president lifts his sanctions on Iran. So I have a feeling that they're feeling the pressure.
Yes.
There.
Another thing that President Trump is doing here, or at least he's mentioned, is getting other countries on the world stage to step in and help us. Not that America always needs help, but for years, American Navy vessels have been protecting cargo, the cargo of various countries.
Right.
The UAE, British, it was one of our, I believe it was one of our boats that stepped in and stopped the attempted British vessel takeover a couple weeks ago. So it would be good, and that's what President Trump is working on, to get other countries to pitch in and help us protect that strait.
Yeah, the British Navy was actually...
Were they the ones that
stopped it? The HMS Montrose was the one that was shadowing this frigate that jumped in, but the U.S. Navy has been. It's an international water. It's very narrow.
Right.
Under the 70-mile limit of most coastlines, it would be in either UAE or Iranian, but because it's so vital to world oil, everybody, if they don't get their oil over land.
Was it like 20 or 25% of the world's oil goes through there?
Something like that.
Something like that. So don't forget, Iran a month or so ago also shot down one of our drones.
Right.
And we claimed it was in international airspace. They said it wasn't. President Trump was going to retaliate, and then he, according to reports, said how many people would die if we attacked, and they said probably about 150. And he did not think that loss of human life was warranted in the case of us just losing a drone, even though they're expensive.
And you may remember oil tankers going through the Straits of Hormuz a couple months ago that either were attacked by torpedoes or landmines, or water mines,
yes,
that were planted in there. And they have video of Iranian military coming alongside one of those ships and recovering one of the mines that didn't explode.
Right.
So pretty sure who did that. So
yeah.
They're flexing their muscle there.
Anyway, certainly hope that war doesn't break out in that part of the world. Hopefully Iran will come to the negotiating table and we can reach some kind of a deal. So
right.
All right, what else you got?
Speaking of impasse, today on the Hill in the Senate, Google is going to be on the hot seat. And they are being brought in by Republicans who control the Senate committees to testify about whether or not they are censoring Christian or conservative thought or videos. They own YouTube and searches and such. Dennis Prager was in on Fox this morning, and he talked a little bit about the problem. I think they're going to hear, Google is going to hear from Dennis Prager because of this. Cut 12.
At PragerU, we have 1 billion views a year. We're very effective. And of our 320 5-minute videos, about 60 are on the restricted list. That means if you block pornography, you cannot see a discussion of Lincoln's address at Gettysburg. It's an absurdity if they say the algorithm. They created the algorithm. Let them give the algorithm to the public. This is how we ban videos.
And you're saying to yourself, wait, what? Pornography with Lincoln's Gettysburg address?
That.
This is the way that Google has basically shadow banned. This is the way of banning a video without them saying they're banning it or curtailing who can see it. I've heard not only the Gettysburg thing, but all sorts of other innocent videos that they surreptitiously, or they may say today mistakenly, put under the label of pornography, so that if you ban pornography in your home, which
you have
everybody
a filter.
Should,
right.
You're not going to be able to see those things.
Yeah, and you'll go to Dennis Prager University online. Uh-huh. You see these videos. You
see unavailable.
I'd like to watch that. It'd be unavailable because it's pornography.
And we have it on good authority that Abraham Lincoln was fully dressed when he was giving the Gettysburg Address.
Including the top hat.
The top hat.
That's right. Well, this is Dennis Prager University. Dennis Prager is Jewish. He's not a Christian, but he's conservative.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is the ideology that, for the most part, Google and some of these other big socials are going after.
I'll be listening into that thing, and we'll probably have some cuts from it tomorrow. We can talk a little bit about what's going on there.
You know, this is it's a little different because it's a company. It's a company. But this is what foreign countries do, like China, who don't like the minority or their opponents, is they use things that should be open platforms so long as they're being used for legal purposes. They use those to squash speech.
Right.
And once again, this is a little different than China, North Korea, etc., because those are government mandated from the top down. But basically, these companies like Google are acting on behalf of the Democrat Party, and they're squashing what the Democrat Party views as illegitimate speech. And it's a very, very dangerous road, and I'll almost guarantee you, if Google was somehow run by conservatives and we started squashing legal speech of Democrats, they would be 100% outraged.
And you, as you know, Walker, they are exempt from a lot of the legal ramifications of having, first of all, they are a private company, so the First Amendment technically does not apply to them, but also they have listed themselves as a platform and not a publisher. And I know that you've talked a lot about the difference of how that exempts them from certain laws.
Sure.
Well, and I think what people want is honesty, because Google, you know, of this talk about, you know, will Google and Twitter and Facebook, are they going to get involved in the 2020 election? Are they going to squelch free speech or even ads from the Trump administration, so on and so forth? Are they going to get involved in trying to determine the outcome? Well, that's pretty important to people, and I think that these big tech companies are so powerful and dominate 90% of the landscape that we're going to have to get to the bottom of it in terms of congressional oversight. And if Google wants to say, listen, we're a private company, we are going to squelch conservative speech, they need to come out and say it. Because then the free market can take over, mm-hmm. and people can say, all right, well, then we're going to have to look for something other than Google.
Yeah, but even that, I think they're so big between Facebook and Alphabet, which owns Google and YouTube and all these places, and like Twitter and all these things. They're so big. And as one of the sources that I talked to the other day, and I was talking about this, I think it was Dan Gaynor at Media Research Center, it's gotten to the place the first time in history that you cannot participate in American society, certainly can't run a business without having access to social media. So if you're someone like Jack Phillips or the Baronel Stutzman who has a business that they want to run by their Christian faith, and you have these liberal type things that are, you can't do business. It's getting to the point you can't collect money through PayPal in some cases. You can't advertise your videos. They won't boost your videos because of all this stuff. It is, so I don't even think that they could even get away with just being honest anymore. Yeah. I think they're just too big.
Yeah. Well, and it is getting, I mean, it's all, they're not technically utilities like water or electricity or something, but they're almost as essential is what you're saying. And so, yes, if the water company said, well, AFR, American Family Association, we don't like your politics, we're shutting off your water, we're not going to do business with haters.
Right.
Most of us would go, well, you can't do that, that's illegal. But being on Facebook, you know, Google, Twitter, all those things are almost as essential. And that is going to be perhaps the thing that undoes.
I think there could be a case made that, at a minimum, the payment processors, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, those could be, I think there could be a legitimate case that those are essential to operating a business.
Because Visa, MasterCard, they could say, we're going with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they say American Family Association is a hate group. We don't do business
and
with
some
you
of
or
them
the
have,
KKK. Yeah. Yes.
To a certain extent.
Yeah. We haven't had it with those major credit cards, but yes. But and the court has, and Abraham Hamilton III would be better to explain this, but the court has ruled, I think it's the Supreme Court has ruled, that if a private entity does a business that the government is supposed to provide, but they've allowed this private entity to provide it on their behalf, that entity is subject to First Amendment and government regulations. And the example they used was, suppose you have a small municipality that hires a private security firm to act as its police force. It's doing the job of what the government should do in a police force, so that private entity, even though it's private, has to give Miranda warnings when they arrest somebody.
Right.
This is the same kind of concept, I think, that the big socials would come under, because they're providing a free speech forum that the government is supposed to protect, and it has become so ubiquitous and necessary that I think the courts would probably rule that they have to start having some First Amendment.
And we're going to get some rulings, I'm sure, in the next 4 or 5 years, because this is all new ground.
Yeah.
We've never been here before where social media is so critical to American life. All right. Speaking of Christians being squeezed out, can we go to that story?
Yes, we can. You may have seen the headlines recently about a U.S. soccer player named Jalene Hinkle. And she is said of her that she was barred from the U.S. soccer team because of her Christian faith. Well, we have a little bit more background on that. I want to start by playing you. She made a decision. She was invited to play for a couple of friendlies. These are matches that don't count on the World Cup circuit, but the United States will go play Croatia or Mexico or something. Just they need the workout, they need the game, and it's a friendly.
Well, and let me just interrupt here for just a second and say that I'm not a soccer fan, so I don't follow it, but all the things I've read said that Hinkle is considered the best left defender in the country. So this is not a mediocre soccer player.
She's very good. Anyway, she was told, the U.S. soccer team decided to wear a jersey with a rainbow-colored numbers.
Gay pride.
And she was with the 700 Club. And a little while ago, and told her story. And I want to just start by playing a little bit of that. This would be cut 9.
I just felt so convicted in my spirit that it wasn't my job to wear this jersey. And I gave myself 3 days to just seek and pray and determine what he was asking of me to do in the situation.
In the face of opposition and social media backlash, Jalene withdrew from the games.
I'm essentially giving up the one dream little girls dream about their entire life, and I'm saying no to. It was very disappointing. And I think that's where the peace trumped the disappointment, because I knew in my spirit I was doing the right thing. I knew that I was being obedient.
So she gave up something that's very dear to her, and it was, she said in this, and I cut it out because it wasn't true, said with the team's blessing, she withdrew. Well, it appears it's not exactly entirely true. Ashlyn Harris, another member of Team USA, and I don't know anything really about Ashlyn because I don't follow it either. There's a number of ladies on this team that who are lesbian. I don't know if she's one, but this is what she tweeted out. Hinkle, our team is about inclusion. Your religion was never the problem. Your problem is your intolerance, and you are homophobic. You don't belong in a sport that aims to unite and bring people together. You would never fit into our pack or what this team stands for. Not her faith, she says.
That's a bunch of hogwash. It is her beliefs about human sexuality that derive directly from her faith.
Harris is the one that was criticizing her. Jalene Hinkle is the Christian soccer player.
Here's what Christians can expect increasingly in the decade ahead is what Hinkle has gone through, and that is that if you do not literally or metaphorically wear the gay pride shirt, in other words, you do not participate in gay pride events, you do not sport
bake
the little button,
cakes,
bake wedding cakes, you are on the outside. Let me just make it clear. This, what Jalene, how do you pronounce the first
Jalene?
Name? Jalene. Hinkle has gone through is not the same as having your head cut off on a beach in Libya.
Right.
Like the Egyptian Christians Coptic Christians were several years ago. Okay, not the same thing.
No.
All right, not the same thing as what's happening to Iraqi Christians and so on and so forth. But this is what Christians can expect in the next 5 years or so to come, because this is the dividing line. 15, 20 years ago, I would not have thought that the issue of homosexuality would be the line, even in the evangelical church,
yes,
that separates the sheep from the goats, so to speak. But that is where we are, and what Hinkle has gone through, Walker, is what the rest of us can expect. If you want to be involved in corporate America or even the National Hockey League, I would think that the NHL would be the last place that they would support, you know, gay pride, but they have come out in full support.
Yeah. And it's one thing I'm not sure about is whether the U.S. soccer team receives funding from the federal government. They may be all privately funded, I'm not sure. But here we have the U.S. soccer team supposed to be representing America on the world stage, and they're using their positions when they're not on the soccer field, when they're at the press conference after the soccer field, etc., to lobby for highly politically controversial issues. And I know they've been talking about raising the minimum wage for women, etc., etc. But my question is, at what point do they go over a line where they're getting public support by, probably, I would bet there's got to be some kind of ties to the U.S. government. They're representing our country at the World Cup, kind of like going to the Olympics. And here they are lobbying and booting her off the team, or making her, putting her in a position where she has to choose her religious beliefs or not being on the team, and are being on the team. So this is concerning, and I've never seen a soccer team or any other national team representing our country go so political in such a timely manner.
Well, it's their moment, they think. They've refused to go to the White House.
And Megan Rapinoe, who was probably their best player. Again, I don't follow it, but I was, you know, I did watch some of it. But she's an out and proud lesbian.
Right.
Very vocal.
Married to someone else on the team, I think.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What Davis said in one of the tweets about Hinkle was, listen, this team has Christians on it and homosexual lesbians. Your problem was you're homophobic. This is important, because what Davis was saying about her team was there are Christians who had no problem wearing the gay pride shirt. They're welcome. But you are not welcome. Mm-hmm. You're a homophobe. You would never be a part of our pack because you won't genuflect. You won't bow the knee to the homosexual agenda. That was very telling to me, that there are Christians on the team who felt no problem wearing the gay pride shirt. They were allowed to stay.
All right, just real quickly, as before we leave, do you think you could tell the difference between meat and not meat?
I believe I could.
Burger King in Sweden has decided to give a 50-50 menu, where if you go and you say you want a burger from the 50-50 menu, they will randomly choose whether or not you get real meat or vegetable byproduct meat. And they won't tell you. You have to go to a secret code on your phone to determine which one you've eaten, supposing you can't.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Not for you?
That's not going to work for me. First of all, I want to be in charge. If I wanted to experiment, I'd pick it.
Sure.
But I don't want them picking it.
Guess who's not going to
Sweden? Yeah.
They don't want to flip a coin for your burger.
Everyone says, yeah, go to Sweden. It's awesome. Yeah, you can't even get real meat at Burger King.
There you go.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. More great programming directly ahead, and Lord willing, we'll see you here tomorrow.